I'm not going to make you turn in your Bibles just yet, because it'll be just a minute before we run anywhere. But we are. It kind of works out. We had a message on message Sunday night, I believe, on faith and belief, and it works out that our discipleship lesson tonight is on faith, staying faithful. We've talked about a lot of different things with this discipleship lesson series so far. But staying faithful is one of those things that, you know, if we don't do this, then everything else we learn doesn't really matter that much, because we're not staying consistent and staying faithful to it. And so I encourage you to tune in tonight, even though it's probably going to be some review for most of you. You probably heard this a lot before, but it is important to be reminded of for all of us that we need to remain faithful, not just to the Lord, but in many different ways in our lives. Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And so, as I said before, all the weeks before, if we do all those things, but we don't remain faithful, then they don't help us that much. If we're not faithful in our walk with the Lord, our inconsistency will hinder not only our growth in Christ, but will put us in danger of suffering some personal losses and defeats as well. So let's pray, and we'll dive into what it means to remain faithful in our ministry. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your time that you've given us tonight to be together in your house, Lord, with your people, with your word. And I pray, please help us now as we study it together. Help us to consider this idea of faithfulness. And Lord, help us to understand it and to apply it to our lives, Lord, and to teach it to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the word faithful, to very start off very simply, is defined in three ways. The first definition is firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion, firmly adhering to duty, of true fidelity, a loyal, true, to allegiance as of a faithful servant, subject. And the third is constant in the performance of duties or services, exact in attending to commands as a faithful servant. So faithful can be a religious thing, and it can be a service-oriented thing. You can be faithful to what job you're supposed to do. You can be faithful to your religion and to the truth. That is the many definitions of faithful. It's wonderful to know how to study God's word, yet if you do not faithful study, that knowledge is of little benefit. It's great to understand Bible doctrines such as salvation and sanctification and separation and spiritual warfare and all the things that we have studied so far, but if faithfulness is not a staple of your life, then you will struggle to move forward with or for the Lord. Faithfulness is the very trait that the Lord saw in Saul that moved him to call Saul the persecutor to be Paul the preacher. If you were to look with me, for time's sake, it's in the notes here, 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. We've talked about before how that Paul, before he was called Paul, he was Saul the persecutor, and he was faithful in that day and age. In the time that he was persecuting the church, God saw him and saw that he was faithful, and God said, I can use that faithfulness for me. And so he called him. And of course, we see the miraculous conversion of Saul into Paul. And then Paul became faithful, not in persecuting the church, but in promoting the Lord Jesus Christ of the church. And so that faithfulness is a very important thing. It's a very rare thing. And the more you become faithful to church, which of course, Wednesday night crowd, y'all are very faithful. You understand completely how rare it is for somebody to be faithful to church, even to be faithful to the Lord, to be faithful to devotions. But it really shines forth. It's really easy to see when somebody is faithful or not to church. Sometimes we've all witnessed here, even over the last few months and years, that there will be people that they get on fire and they get all excited and they want to be here for every service for about six services, and then they're gone and they never come back. And that faithfulness just wasn't there. It was there in a flash and it just faded right away. And that happens a lot. And some people are faithful in more ways than others, and some people are faithful to more things than others. But when it comes to faithfulness today, we're going to try and answer two main questions. First of all, what does God expect me to be faithful to? And then secondly, how can I improve my faithfulness? It doesn't do us much good to figure out all the things we're supposed to be faithful to if we don't know how to be faithful to those things. So we're going to try and answer those two questions. Now, you could make a very long list of things that you're supposed to be faithful to that God has commanded, but we're just going to look at some of the main ones today. So if you want to turn with me now in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, those will be our first couple of stops. Matthew chapter 6 and 2 Timothy chapter number 2. the first thing that I believe, it's not in any given order of these things. It's not a order of importance necessarily, or order of or chronological or anything like that. It's just the way I put them down. One of the things that God desires us to be faithful to is prayer. Prayer is something that God desires us to be faithful to. Now, we understand what prayer is, but let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And then if you were to turn over to chapter 26 of Matthew, and verse number 42, Matthew 26, 42, we find here in this passage, let's start in verse number 41, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Of course, this is in the garden. Verse 42, "He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." So we see the Lord Jesus Christ, he taught us how to pray, he commanded us to pray, and he showed us an example of prayer in his own life as well. So praying is something we ought to be faithful to. You consider what prayer is, it's our communicating towards God, and if we're not faithful in that, it's just like any other relationship. If you refuse to talk to your spouse, if you refuse to talk to your best friend, that relationship is not going to be what it could be. It may not be destroyed, but it is going to be less than it could be because there's no communication. We want to be faithful in our communicating with God. And on the return side of that is the study of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. This is one that you probably know by heart. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, if you turn with me to Proverbs 1, we'll give you another verse to go along with that verse, because most people probably in churches today know 2 Timothy 2:15. They know they're supposed to study the word of God, and they know that verse gives it, but it's always good to have more than one verse to a point. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." So a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. There is a wisdom and there is an understanding to seeking to learn, to seeking to study and to understand the Word of God and to seek out wise counsel. It's a good thing. So we ought to be faithful to prayer and to study of the Word of God, because that is essentially our communication with God. Praying is our talking to Him. Studying the Word is Him returning that answer to us. And if we're not faithful in that thing, then we're going to wonder what God's will is for us because we're not communicating with Him. We're going to wonder why God's allowing things because we're not communicating with Him. We're going to wonder, what about this and what about that? Because, well, we're not talking to the one with the answers. I find it almost amusing at times that when you see Christians complain and whine and say, why would God allow this or that to happen? And you ask them, you get to talking to them, and they don't pray consistently, they don't study consistently, they just watch the news. It's like, well, there you go. That's the problem. You're watching the world, and you're watching all kinds of filth, and you're watching all kinds of terrible, I don't know what other adjectives I could throw in there, but you're watching that junk and you're not communicating with the God who has the answers. And so, of course, you're not going to feel good. You're not going to feel saved. There's people I know that they've said that they don't feel saved. I said, okay, well, are you acting like you're saved? Are you doing what God told you to do as a saved person? And so often the people who will struggle and say, I don't feel saved. And Brother Logan mentioned this in his message during Revival Week. They'll have some kind of an issue where they're not studying their Bible. They're not praying. They're not doing as God said. So we need to be faithful in our personal prayers and in our personal studies of Scripture. I say personal because some people rely on the church for everything. They rely on the church for their prayer life. They rely on the church for their studies. And while that's a great resource, you ought to have a personal relationship with the Lord in study and in prayer. Now, the third thing is fellowship. Fellowship. The Lord expects us to be faithful in fellowship, both with God and with the brethren. Turn with me to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1, we'll see our faithfulness to God first, faithfulness to God in fellowship first, and then with the brethren. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 3. 1 John 1, 3. The Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God desires us to be faithful to fellowship, not just with other Christians, but with Him. And that comes through not just prayer and reading your Bible, but through walking in the light as He is in the light. It comes through obedience to God in that relationship. That is how we fellowship with our Lord. We have a close walk with God when we are obedient to our God, and when we are serving our God the way that He has prescribed us to do. And so we want to be faithful in our fellowship with God. We want to be faithful in our fellowship with brethren. Of course, Hebrews 10:25 is a passage that we've all seen, especially the last couple of years with the whole pandemic thing and the churches closing down and all that. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That is a very clear command from God's word, and it's not any lesser of a command than any other command in the Bible. And I know there were so many people doing mental gymnastics, trying to reason a way to make it okay to close down the church and say that it's not, that we're not commanded to meet together. But we are. We're not supposed to forsake the fellowshipping of ourselves together. Now, it doesn't have to be in the church house. It can be in your house. It can be in my house. But we ought to be meeting together. And the Bible didn't say in there, unless you might get a sick. The Bible didn't say in there, unless the person next to you smells funny. And the Bible didn't say in there, unless the government's going to persecute you for it. It's amazing to me, looking back, how many churches missed out on so much time together as the body of Christ because they were afraid of a germ, when the people that were living in the day that this was penned down could have been burned alive for meeting together. It's the priorities are totally out of whack. And the faith and the fear, it's just all such a mess. And so fellowship with God and fellowship with the brethren is something we're supposed to be faithful to. And watching online, some people, that's all they can do, and that's better than nothing, but it's not the same as fellowshipping together in person. Now, we need to be faithful to prayer. We need to be faithful to study. We need to be faithful to fellowship, both with God and with the brethren. And we need to be faithful to our family. Faithful to our family. God expects that of us. If you were to look at Ephesians chapter 6, we won't for time's sake. It's in the notes, though. We're supposed to be faithful to our parents. We're supposed to honor our parents and obey our parents and be faithful in that relationship to our parents. Remember, faithful doesn't just mean you show up. That's the idea that we all so often get, because we so often equate faithfulness with being dependable and being there, and that is part of it. But if you remember the definition, one of the definitions is constant in the performance of duties or services. And so if that is faithfulness, then of course there is a job for a child to be faithful to their parents. And then there's faithfulness that is towards our children as well. Every parent ought to know the verses in the Bible that is to them, ought to know what we need to do in relation to our children and raising our children and loving our children and disciplining our children and teaching our children. And so we need to be faithful as parents to our children. Children need to be faithful to their parents. And then, of course, spouses need to be faithful one to another. Ephesians 5:33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." We have a duty to our wives, and wives have a duty to their husbands to be faithful to them. And that's something that God expects. It's something God expects of us, especially of his children. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. One more thing that I have in the list for tonight of things that God expects us to be faithful in. Ephesians chapter 6, and start in verse 5, and that thing is work. Work. Ephesians 6, 5. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." Now you read that passage, and we'll just read it again a little slower. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." That's how we're supposed to serve our masters according to the flesh. That's your boss at the gas station. That's your boss at the grocery store. That's your boss at the farm market. That's, you know, that's the boss. And we're supposed to treat that job as though we're serving Christ himself and as though we're going to be rewarded for how we serve, and not with eye service, not as we're pleasing men, but as pleasing the Lord. Now, you think about that definition and you think about your most recent interaction with any paid employee. And about 50-50 nowadays, it was either a good interaction or a bad interaction. It's sad. People are getting paid money to do to do jobs, and you go in there and they're on their phone and they're not paying attention, and they're, you know, they're bothered that there's a customer to be waited on, and there's so many terrible workers out there. And you talk to anybody who owns a business or anybody who's in charge of hiring, there's so few people even willing to be workers out there, and it's such a mess. And a lot of these people claim to be Christian, and yet God said you need to be faithful as a servant. You need to be faithful in that role, and you need to do that and perform that role as though you were doing it for the Lord himself. And so God expects us to be faithful to several things. Now, there's more, I'm sure, that we could include here, but these five are big ones: prayer, study, fellowship, family, and work. Those are some main things that everybody has to some degree that we need to be faithful to in our lives, because if we are not faithful to these things, it is going to be very difficult for us as Christians to live the way God intended us to live. God commands his children to be faithful in all these areas. If I'm faithful in study, but not in my relationship with my parents, I'll be hindered. My spiritual life will be hindered. If I'm faithful in prayer, but not in my relationship with my spouse, my prayers will be hindered. 1 Peter 3:7 says exactly that, that our relationship with our wives, we can hinder our own prayer life by how we treat our wives. And so the Bible says that clearly in 1 Peter 3:7. If I'm faithful in fellowship with the brethren, but not faithful at work, my testimony is hindered. And so faithfulness is not just showing up to church, and it's not just reading your Bible every day or praying every day. It's a character trait that we're supposed to have in our lives. It's something that's supposed to be a staple of our life and our personality as Christians, is this faithfulness. And it's not hardwired into us when we're born. The human nature, the sin nature, the flesh, doesn't like faithfulness, because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, and that might change every other day. And how often did you wake up and say, "Thank the Lord, I get to go to work. Thank the Lord." You know, some people, that's the right attitude to have, and they have that attitude. But depending on the job you have, I'm sure there's some jobs you've had in your life when you didn't wake up that way every day. There's probably some times when you woke up and said, "Oh, another day that I have to go there and work for that guy and work with those fellow employees and serve those customers." And it's just not always enjoyable. It's not, our flesh doesn't love to be faithful to something, except if that something is sin, usually. And so faithfulness is something that we have to essentially train ourselves to do. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But it's a rare trait for people to be faithful today. You can see that by looking in any church and seeing how many people show up on a regular basis, and then seeing how many ministries have everybody that they need. Does the church need a janitor? Does the church need a Sunday school teacher? Does the church need this or that? And is there somebody faithful and willing and able to fulfill those roles? It's an easy way to see that there is a lack of faithfulness. Now, some places, some different circumstances are just not the people there that can do things, but that's because there's other people that should be there doing those things that were unfaithful and got out of church. There's probably, y'all, you know, being here before I was here, you could probably name a bunch of names of people that should be here tonight that aren't here tonight. They became unfaithful to God's house and to God's people, and they're nowhere tonight. And it's a sad thing, but it's a true thing that happens. We got to make sure it doesn't happen to us. It's not only faithfulness is not only vital to our Christian growth, it's vital to our identity as a Christian. So when we say I'm a Christian, we're saying I'm a Christ-like one, or Christ is just like me. And if we're going to identify as a Christian, we're going to have to be faithful in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." The Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, is faithful. He is, it's one of his names, is faithful. And so we know that, we understand that. So we as Christians cannot claim that doesn't apply to us. It applies in every facet of our lives. We're supposed to be faithful to all things that God instructs us to be. So how do I improve? We've got a few minutes left. How do I improve my faithfulness? This is one of those questions that most people would probably want some crazy, amazing, new, you know, phrase or answer that's like, wow, I never thought of that before. But it's one of those questions that's really just, you already know the answer. It's a matter of doing it. And sometimes, you know, I'll be sitting, I'll hear a preacher, he's preaching, and he'll be talking about something, and he'll be about to go into a point, and I'll think, wow, I really hope he says something that I haven't heard before. I really hope he has a new point of view to it. And it's like, nope, it's exactly what it was. I already knew the truth of it. I just have to just suck it up and do it. You know, sometimes you want some great revelation of new information, and it's not necessary because we have what we need. You just have to actually apply it. 2 plus 2 is still 4, even if you want it to be something different. And so when it applies to our Christian life, sometimes, you know, you think, how do I get closer to God? Well, we know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. But we want some formula for success, and we want some method of how to do it. And that's why these Christian bookstores are so popular, and you have all these self-help books and all these planners and all these journals and all these things that kind of sell themselves as, if you do this, you'll get close to God. Because people want some kind of formula they can follow, when really the answer is just read your Bible more, pray more, be faithful to church more, and you'll grow. It's the same thing, I hate to even go there, but it's the same thing as weight loss, right? Everybody wants some magic pill that you swallow the pill and poof, you're skinny and you're healthy and all that. But the truth of the matter is, regardless of your conditions and your predispositions and your genes and all that, the less you put in, the less you grow out. And the more you do this, and the less you do this, the smaller you get. It's just the truth. And so when it comes to how do I become more faithful, I don't have some groundbreaking formula for you. I don't have some new amazing thought for you. I have 3 things that are simple and that you probably already knew. First of all, practice faithfulness in every area of your life. Spiritual things, employee, faithful spouse, faithful student. You think about, like we said, that constant in performance of duties or services, exact and attending demands. That can apply to a student. Be faithful in your studies. Be faithful in your job. Be faithful in your family. Be faithful in your church. There's faithfulness as a whole. If you try to just be faithful to God and then you don't care whether you show up on time to work, that's almost living in a double life, because you're trying to have faithfulness as a character trait to your Christian side and not a character trait to your other side. But if we'll apply faithfulness across the board and say, I am going to be a faithful person, period, whether it's faithful to my Lord, to my devotions, or to my boss, then I'm just going to do that. And that will help you if you take it on as your whole life, being faithful in every avenue of your life, then you'll be better off. Second thing is, get connected with a local body of believers who will keep you accountable. Now, everybody here, obviously, you did it. Good job. You're here on a Wednesday night. You're part of a local body of believers who will keep you accountable. You did this already. But it's the truth. It's one of the main ways that you can become better at faithfulness is to be connected to a church that will keep you accountable. Not just a church that nobody will know if you're there or not, but a church that will know if you're gone and will check in on you and will call you and say, hey, where you been? We've been missing you. And you can't just skate under the rug and be there some days and not other days and nobody ever knows your name. That's one of the draws of the really big churches, is people can go there and not be bothered to have relationships with others and not be bothered to actually fellowship. And if they don't miss, then nobody bugs them. I've actually had somebody tell me before that they really enjoyed that they weren't sure about, you know, the small churches, because they enjoyed being able to go to big church and then not go for a while. And they don't, you know, when they go back, they don't have to explain where they've been. It's like, that's a bad thing. Like, that's not a good thing. But that's what they liked about it, because they said, when you're part of a local small church, then everybody knows when you're gone. And when you come back, they're all, you know, saying they missed you. They all want to know where you've been. You got to explain why you've been absent. I'm like, yeah, it's called accountability. It's a good thing. But that person was telling me how much they loved that, you know, you didn't have any of that with a big church. So getting practicing faithfulness in all things in your life, getting connected to local body of believers. And then the third thing is probably the most important thing. Make God's priorities your priorities. Simple as that. People as a whole, as a general rule, human beings, with our sin nature and our fallen nature, we are self-centered and stubborn for the most part. Now, everybody's got a different personality. Some people are go along to get along. Some people are rigid. I get that. Everybody's different. But for the most part, our flesh wants to preserve ourselves. Our flesh wants to please ourselves. We're not concerned with everything else, and we're not concerned with God, except for the blessing of the Holy Spirit guiding us and telling us that we need to be concerned with these things. And so if we will begin by making God's priorities our own priorities, then we won't miss our devotions or prayer time because we were too busy. It'll be scheduled into our day. I'm so guilty of this, just like everybody else. You know, you get so busy with things, even pastoral things, and you sit down and you're like, oh, I didn't read my Bible just for me today. Or I didn't pray just for me today, for my relationship with God today. And you get to where you're so busy and you forget. And if you'll schedule it into your day and say, this is important, so it's going into the schedule and it's going to happen, then you won't have that issue. If you make God's priorities your priorities. People don't give because when God says support the work, they say, I want a new car. People don't witness because when God says to tell them about me, you know, tell them about the Lord, we say, well, I want them to like me. And I don't know what they'll say and I don't know what they'll think. And people don't go to every service they're able to attend because, well, lawn work and kids' sports and television and family time. And, well, I'm just too tired. Now, you can say you're too tired once you reach a certain age, because then you are probably just plain too tired. And if you have to be carted in here, then that's a little bit better of an excuse. But we know plenty of people who get carted in here on wheelchairs. And if they fall asleep in the service, as long as they're not snoring too loud, we don't mind, because it's better for them to be here. And so we need to make sure that we are making God's priorities ours, because that's really what it boils down to. I've had, as a youth pastor for all those years, even before that, just being in a family that was faithful to church, you would always see these other families that, you know, they were here, they weren't here, they were to this thing, but not that thing. And you just wondered why they just weren't consistent. And there was always a reason. And it always sounded kind of like a good reason, but that's the thing. The devil will give you any kind of good reason that you can have in order to justify not being where you're supposed to be. And so whatever the reason is, if we will prioritize God's will above our priorities, then we won't miss as many church services. And we won't miss fellowshipping with the brethren as much. And we won't miss witnessing as much. And we won't miss our Bible study time as much, because his priorities are running our lives. 1 Corinthians 6 will be the last place we go. It's in the notes, but we'll go there in our Bibles. 1 Corinthians 6, the entire issue of Christians today not being faithful to God in the way that we should can be summed up by a failure to remember this one passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll read verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you wake up every day understanding that you don't belong to you, that you belong to God because he purchased you with his blood and saved your soul, if you wake up with that attitude in mind, then it won't be so important to do the things that keep you from your Bible time. And it won't be so important to do the things that keep you from your prayers. And it won't be so important to attend the things that keep you out of the church services. And so that's the trick, is making sure that we make God's priorities our priorities. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be at every single thing every single time, and that you're this horrible, wicked person if you get busy one day doing important things and you have to skip out on something. That's not what I'm saying, but most people don't struggle with that. Most people struggle with remembering to do anything spiritual, because their priorities are their priorities, and if God's priorities get worked in there, then that's okay. It's backwards. We have to start with the idea that I do God's work, and then if I got some extra time, then I can do my hobby. Then I can do what I feel like. Then I can unplug for a while or do whatever that I want to do today, but I'm going to make sure that I please my God first. And so it's just a matter of changing the priorities, changing those things in our lives. God desires faithfulness of his children. And if we will make faithfulness a staple of our lives, both spiritually and otherwise, we will be blessed for it, and we'll be blessing to others for it. It is such a blessing to know that there are faithful people in a body of believers, to know that there is going to be so-and-so is going to be there no matter what, and that if I say we're going door knocking, this person's going to show up no matter what, and just know that there's faithful people. It is a huge blessing, not just to the pastor, but to the other faithful people, because it's so much nicer to be able to go and do something for the Lord and not be alone in doing it. And so the more we lose faithful people and don't reinsert new faithful people, the younger generation, the more we get this generation of Christianity that's just kind of whenever we feel like it. There's no consistency, there's no faithfulness, and it really can't accomplish much for God. You can't accomplish much when you don't know if you're going to have any faithfulness at all. If you can't trust people to show up, if you can't trust people to pray, if you can't trust people to give, to do anything that God commands them to do, that church is very hindered. And that family is very hindered. That individual is very hindered by a lack of faithfulness. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word and for the fact that you are faithful, faithful and true. And Lord, we pray you please help us to be faithful in our lives, Lord, not only in our daily lives, but also in our relationship with you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I won't announce them tonight, but I would encourage you to look on in your notes there to see the assignments and things for this week. I do think they'll be a help to you if you do them. Of course, obviously, it's not required or anything. It's just something that might be helpful to you. All right, Brother Ken, what are we going to sing tonight?